Užķēržam, preparējam, aizšujam. Tāda ir mēdija anatomija.
Mediju biznesa vides pētījumi rāda, ka Baltijas valstīs lielākais tirgus spēlētājs ir TV3. Arī Latvijā TV3 grupa ir pelnošāko mediju augšgalā. Jo piekto gadu to vada lietuvietis Mindaugs Rakausks.
Kad mani uzrunāja Lietuvā sākt strādāt arī ar pārdošanu tikai TV3, es domāju, ka tas būs kaut kas ļoti jaudīgs un interesants, jo medijiem ir tas, kā mēs saucam angliski, magic dust.
Kaut gan Mindaugs labi pārvāda latviešu sarunu valodu, turpinot runāt par mediju darba niansēm, pārgājām uz angļu valodu. Mūsu sarunu es, Zane Ozoliņa, sāku ar atsauci uz citu raidījumu par mediju biznesa vidi, un tajā pētnieces norādīja, ka TV3 šobrīd var saukt par Baltijas mediju karali.
I think we are much more modest than that. We never call ourselves kings and never think that way. But at the same time, for us, it is very important to be important in the media field. Let's say TV3 has been investing in media long years here in Latvia and in the Baltics.
How would you describe your position in Latvia? Isn't it a little bit lonely because the almost only rival you have is the public TV?
That's probably depending on how you look into things. I think nowadays, when you are in the media field, you're not thinking linear anymore. So basically, when we look into the competition field, we don't think that, okay, this is a TV channel versus a TV channel. No, all of the media is competing for attention. And that attention right now is all through all of the platforms. Be it audio platform, video platform, digital platform, whatever that is, and not necessarily advertisement-based, because we, as a business, we are mainly still funded by the advertising money. But I can agree that probably it, for the television viewer, maybe it would be better if we have had a bigger competition before. Currently, I still believe that we have a healthy one, because from one side, public broadcaster is doing well. From another side, also we have growing competition from the likes of the media, like Helio Media. They also have the locally produced channels. But at the same time, we don't try to benchmark ourselves to a competitor, first of all. For us, it's like running a marathon, I would tell. You are competing, first of all, against yourself. We are not trying to say that we are going to be better than, I don't know, LTV or 360 or something like that. We're looking into where we have been and we want to beat ourselves the last period. But yes, I can admit that it at least is different from Lithuanian market, where we see the bigger competition in that regard. In Estonia, actually, it's even smaller than in Latvia, so to say. So we are somewhere in the middle.
To continue with you being a part of the large Baltic media group, are there differences between what audiences prefer in Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, or do you tailor it with a TV3 branding all over these three countries?
We still differ. You know, some things are very similar, and they are. For example, quite equally, people in Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania are appreciating the news. But if we take sports, I think this is probably the easiest example, is that we differ so much. Let's say here in Latvia, we are much known for ice hockey, first of all, and you can see it in the television ratings that ice hockey is the king. In Lithuania, ice hockey is non-existent, but they have basketball. While in Estonia, it's neither basketball or ice hockey. They're actually very much into rally. So we have different tastes. At the same time, when we're looking to the different genre on the television, I wouldn't say that is so much different per genre type. But what is important in each and every country, that this is still local. If we are here in Latvia, we'd be taking some content that has been produced, I don't know, especially thinking about Estonians through the Estonian mentality, etc., and we have done those tests before, I can tell that this does not become very popular here because it just doesn't resonate.
How much do you invest in the news, and especially you have a reporter going many times to Ukraine, Eva Varna. Mm-hmm. Why is it important to still be there as often as she is going?
I cannot recall the exact amounts, how much are we investing into the news, but I can tell this is the biggest probably line in our budget of our investments. So this is the first and the biggest one. Because if we would look, let's say, one of the reasons for doing that is, of course, the importance of the news for the local society. So we are happy to have the most popular news, television news, so to say, in Latvia, and we keep investing into that because that's also a big part, the identity of TV3 as a channel as well. We also are looking for the ways how to maybe even expand it. Because when we look for the unique selling points, as we say, the further we go, we see that the news is becoming the bigger and the bigger unique selling point for any kind of the local media. Because, let's say, the best, I don't know, series or movies you can get from so many different places and so many different platforms that it's not so easy to compete on that side. Getting back to the second part of your question, speaking about why is it important for us to have journalists going into places like Ukraine, I think that's a part of the identity of the news that we would like to have. It is important that we are the first ones who are there, who are seeing, checking, and being able to take this information from the places like whatever that is in Ukraine. And we feel obliged to be the ones who are providing those high-quality news. At the same time, I have to tell and thank you, Eva Varna and Sergei Medvedevs, who have been doing that from the first days of the war. I think, as from the very beginning, it hasn't been the idea of the managements who would say, okay, right now we have definitely need to have people. These are our journalists who were the first ones coming in and saying, guys, we want to go and we want to show what is really happening there. So the initiative was very prompt. And I remember the first time they came and said, guys, we want to go. We were still considering, should we let them? As a manager of the organization, I also have a responsibility not only to have the best news possible, but also for the people. And when you're having people going into the war zone, you never know what happens. It was also not a very easy decision between the personal feeling, how do you feel about this, and of course the professional that we need to be telling about it. So, and it is about big part of the DNA of the TV3 news as well. So I'm happy that we are doing that. And we also see that our viewers really appreciate it. And not only the viewers, also our journalists as well. They really, despite the fact that this is a place where not so many people would like to go, because Eva and Sergei are typically going very close to the where the actual action is happening and the conflict is dangerous there. But we very much appreciate the job they're doing, and we continue to support those activities.
I'm sure that you are following all the local political news in Latvia, and you know that there is a political decision made that we have to decrease the amount of Russian language content in public media. Do you think it is a wise decision?
How to put that better? I think from the very beginning when I arrived here in Latvia, I was an advocate to have a more diverse media field. And one of the things that we haven't had the money, but we really wanted to do, especially looking into the Latvian situation, was to introduce the Latvian news for the Russian society in Russian language. And I remember from the day, let's say, when the COVID restriction has got easier so we could walk, no, I was also walking all of those corridors of the politicians presenting this project and saying that, you know, we would like to make it a co-product. You know, TV3 is ready to invest some particular amount of money, but at the same time, it's a social project. So it's not going to be, I don't know, very popular to the extent that, let's say, we can sustain it as a business, but we can do it together for the sake of the society. And there has been a lot of good praises like, oh, that's a great project, but there was zero support. So from that particular moment, we have, as TV3 group and myself, probably we have been very vocal that we have various people living here. And myself being Lithuanian, I can relate. Let's say even I can understand Latvian and I can speak to some extent. I still prefer my information in my mother tongue language. you know, it's just easy. It just gets into me without any extra mental effort, and it's just how I prefer. So I presume whatever your language is, your feeling is probably similar to that. So I can relate and I can understand, let's say, the channel closures that has been related to the war.
To the Kremlin channel.
Yes,
right.
But the Kremlin, so I can relate to that, and this is understandable, and I don't think that we need a discussion about it. So it was a logical step, and Latvia has been one of the fastest, actually, to implement that. So compliments for making that happen. But when it comes to the language, I think maybe we are bending it too much, because we have to admit that there is a quite big proportion of Russian-speaking society living here in Latvia. It is significant. And if we just right now just cut the content that they like in their mother tongue language and they will say, sorry guys, right now you need to make it in Latvian, we will not solve the problem. Because currently it's easy to get access to whatever you want. Basically, we still see that there is a big level of piracy, and there are a lot of Russian speakers who have actually switched off their TV sets at all, and majority of them are following the news, also, if I may say, Moscow news. And we see what it does to people. You know, if you are getting this each and every day, we are getting to different societies living in the same place, but living different values, different realities, etc. So that's my personal view. I don't want to be somebody who lectures politicians what to do. Let's say I'm a businessman, I'm a father, I'm a private person, so I have my own views. But when it gets to that, I don't think that is the smartest way to do it. So from one side, the public broadcaster has been put into the position, if I may say so, to reduce it. From the TV3 group point of view, we are not going that way. I think that we are still continuing to support the languages that are the most popular here in Latvia. And of course, you know, with the maximum priority to the Latvian language, but not cutting on the content in the Russian language. And as well, you know, we have started producing finally those local news in the Russian language. It doesn't get easy, quite naturally, because news costs a lot. And it doesn't pay off financially, to be honest, but at least for now we have this belief that we need to continue, especially if we are going to have even less that type of the content from the public broadcaster. So somebody has at least to do it.
You have not only your production, news-wise and other programs, but you are buying a lot of content from independent producers. How do you share the responsibility of the journalistic work when they are not under your roof directly?
That is a good question. I think that, let's say, if to answer you very precisely, I would need to look how all the documents look like, how have we put it and how have we taken. At the end of the day, then this becomes, to some of the productions are co-productions where we share the full, I would say, the full responsibility for what's there. Some of the productions are the productions that we fully rely on the external producers. For example, I don't know, if we take the investigative journalism like Neka Personiga, let's say this is also driven by the external producer, so to say. Of course, they are probably one of the best, if not the best in the field here in Latvia. So we trust them. But some time to time, the issues there are, and then we're basically joining them in trying to defend what has been there. But we don't have the filter, especially for the partners, for the likes like Neka Personiga, let's say, to filter the content through just prior airing it. Typically, this is a very hot, this is a very actual information. And this is all of those years that we are working with them and we rely. But if something comes, typically we join forces. But of course, there are also partnerships, then we don't have that particular responsibility. And this is for the independent producers to deal with it themselves. But if you would look into the regulation, at the end of the day, this is still the media owner who's responsible for what's there.
But then TV3 would be able to defend equally Arnis Krause or Edijs Boš or Ilze Janoksne or Inga Springe?
That is a good question that I don't have a clear answer to. For Arnis Krause and Edis Bosch, I can answer for sure, because these are the people, let's say, that we are working directly
their
with.
Own stuff, yeah.
Yes. And then with the author type, let's say, type of the partners, I would still need to check. I don't want to mislead here.
I would like to recall to our listeners one project. It was aired first on the Go3 platform, which was Shelshanas by the mm-hmm. investigative Rebaltica. Uh-huh. And then they got into, they were asked to return the money they had received mm-hmm. from the government because they were using subtitles instead of voiceover for Russian language. Do you think it's fair to punish them like that?
A short answer probably would be no, because it's this situation is really how you would like to interpret it. It's very differently interpretable. From the point that we see it, we do not really see any wrongdoings there, let's say, from the TV3 points of view, and we have been very supportive for the producers right over there. At the same time, when you look very detailed into the rule of law, there's the way to interpret it from the whole different angle, which I think the case has been built upon. And we have to understand that, let's say, this particular program also has been there on air at the very politically sensitive period of time. So that's how we got into this particular situation. No, I don't think that that is reasonable. At the same time, we are the legal country, so quite naturally we need to go through the legal process and to make sure that, you know, all of the arguments are being put on the table and the true story is being told so everyone's convinced, even from the legal point of view, that there's no crime right over there.
But wouldn't you be able to express your defense of these journalists more loudly, so it would give a stance on this dispute? Because now it's more like they are doing and fighting about their rights on their own.
I think to some extent we have been expressing that support. Let's say, speaking about how do we express that support, our view typically is that we don't. We try to spread our support very pragmatically. By pragmatically meaning that, let's say, we can start talking loudly, putting high notes on the news or somewhere else. But typically that doesn't really help. What helps is really the practical things, because at the end of the day, be it silent or loud on the media field, we still have to go to court and we still have to go through the process. And I'm personally a very much believer that the practical help is probably even more valuable than the supporting and help, you know, stating the very official loud position, so to say. Plus, also, we have to remember two things. As a TV3 group, we are very proud that we have full Chinese wall between the business and the editorial part of you, which basically, in reality, that means that even I have a very strong opinion myself as a manager of TV3 here in Latvia, I have zero chances to go to our news and to tell, guys, this is the story we need to speaking about loudly. It's fully their own editorial decision.
To continue with the platform, Go3, uh-huh. What about your rivalry between Go3 and Netflix? Do you have enough power to compete with a global force?
I think one Go3 has been started as a force. You know, I still recall those early brainstorms in the management room. So what do we need to do for that? Because being honest, let's say those, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, the consideration was, okay, guys, Netflix is increasing and it can realistically be that, you know, in some years of time, no people will want to watch television and they will just want to go to the archive, the Netflix type of the archive, and to watch content like that. Let's probably try to focus and produce something like the Baltic Netflix so that we can compete on the local level, so to say. And then at the time, let's say we have put the star, that the aim that we said that it's probably not possible, but we need to have some very ambitious goal. And then we said, okay, we want to reach, and that was like, okay, 500,000 subscribers in the Baltics. at the time, nobody really believed that. And then when we started that particular journey, different to Netflix, we have selected to have the Netflix type of the product, basically the video on demand archive with the series, movies, etc. But then we said, okay, let's have our channels as well. You know, just for somebody who would still want to watch the channel. And the biggest surprise was that actually the biggest driver for Go3's success has been the linear channels. Because if you would look into the viewership, let's say what is happening behind Go3, still the biggest part of the viewing is the linear type of the programming. Meaning that our presumptions that people will not want to watch content in linear sequence was wrong from the very beginning. So we have found it experimenting ourselves. And let's say those who see what Netflix is doing, actually Netflix right now is trying to bring linear type of the logic into their platform as well. So speaking about the rivalry, we have never been thinking like, is that a big rival of ours? Because let's say this media evolution is coming from all the different ends. Netflix is just probably a flagman. However, what we are proud at the moment, very proud, are that when we look into the subscribers here in the Baltics, so Go3 is a number one subscription platform, which meaning that we have overcome the Netflix popularity here in the Baltics, and Netflix is the second.
Can you disclose the numbers?
Of Go3's? To give you the rough understanding that currently we have more than 550,000 subscribers throughout the Baltics. So basically, we have surpassed the goal that we thought that this is not possible. So right now, the new ambition is to reach 1 million. But of course, that's going to be even a harder journey than to get to 500,000.
How do you decide on the content you are investing to attract audience for the Go3? Because they're on one hand, but it's partly state-supported Soviet genes, quality TV series. And on the other part, you have something like a reality show in Crete. Mm-hmm. So which product gets you more subscribers?
Speaking about that, I would say that, let's say, Go3 in the sense unique, because there's no one genre that drives the growth of the platform. It also works differently in different countries, so to say. So when we look into Latvia, actually, you have mentioned the examples of, I would say, quite controversial examples, from the high-quality cinema type of the series to the classical reality with hot bodies and romance. But you would be surprised that some titles, especially in Latvia, like Šelšanās, has been one of the most successful content pieces attracting new subscribers to Go3, which basically means that there's no one silver bullet. Yes, there is a viewer for the reality show. And yes, reality shows are adored in all the Baltics. Estonians like those the most, but still here in Latvia and in Lithuania, we love them too. High quality cinema, I'm very proud of those projects that we have done together with the Nacionalais Kino Centras. Because this is truly the example how state can cooperate with commercial medias and how we can get maximum effect of the money invested and at the same time have a fantastic quality of content. This type of content we can also export because, let's say, it has also been popular in countries like Lithuania. Right, Estonia maybe less so, but in Lithuania, Padomi Džinsi has resonated very well. With regards to that, there's a bigger challenge actually to find the right balance between the linear programming, meaning the television channels, and the platform. We try to also to play a little bit with this. And for example, a little example can be those shows like this Karsti Kreta, which has been like you have the 24-hour feed on Go3, so basically the fans can get there whenever they want and follow what is happening real time. And then on linear television, for those who don't really have the time to follow that or don't want, they can get a program of the half hour to 1 hour slot where you actually are getting the whole summary of the day, what has happened, etc. And this is also something that we are still experimenting. Nobody in the world has found a silver bullet. And everyone's experimenting that. So this is one of the reasons why me personally, I like the media industry, because the bicycle is not created. You're finding the new bicycle each and every day, and it changes.
And do you see that the environment in media will change the next year with the first steps of, again, merging Latvian radio and Latvian television, the public media?
I think that is probably a much bigger event if we're looking into the media and how it can be influencing the whole media ecosystem is exactly the LTV and Latvijas Radio merge. The first year, I'm not expecting anything big because I think the new board is going to have a big topic, first of all, to think over how to merge those two still different media organizations that they can, from one side, produce the highest level of the content, from another side, work efficiently, from the third side, work together. Because, let's say, from my point of view, you need to find a way how to have one direction. And for now, those still two companies still are distant one to another. So at the very beginning, I think there's a lot of effort there. Long term, I think that's going to increase the competition for the content. Let's say there are positive sides of that and not so positive sides, if I may say so. Let's say the positive ones, if we're getting more and better quality content to Latvia, so the viewer is going to be a winner. And, you know, if we can have that, that means that the more people are staying within the local content and information space. But there's also another part which is less positive, but here I'm probably speaking as a businessman from the commercial media point of view. Let's say what we have seen in other countries where we are having not only the merge, but also where the bigger financing is being followed by that the public broadcasters are getting more to compete with the commercial broadcasters in the commercial genre. What I mean by that is that, let's say, I think public media is a must for any country because we have so diverse population, so many different needs to cover, and commercial media not necessarily can cover them all because commercial media is still working, trying to attract the biggest audiences that they could finance their working model of operation. Public media doesn't really need to think about how to attract the money because the public financing model is different. So we can really serve all the different parts of the society. But the bad examples that we have seen, and I can use, for example, one from Lithuania, that in order to become more popular, which I don't know if that's a good aim for the public broadcaster. Let's say Lithuanian public broadcaster has decided to bid over commercial sport rights league, for example, like EuroLeague. In Lithuania, we have big basketball, and Lithuanians have a very, let's say, big local team called Žalgiris at basketball, etc., and they're playing in commercial sports event, basically, the EuroLeague. And historically, it's bread and butter of the commercial broadcasters. And right now, the public broadcaster also goes there and bids bigger, let's say, license money than the commercial broadcasters. And in that, I see actually only bad things happening because from one side, we're using state money to finance commercial things. And from another side, we're also making the commercial players weaker. Let's say there is a huge discussion that we need to have the media pluralism. We have to have as many different media as possible to have different opinions. But if we are going to take the bread or butter from the commercial players, we are just going to have fewer commercial players or weaker. And that means we will have less quality of content at the very end of the day and much worse quality of the information.
But to talk about sports, do you see there maybe some similarities also? Like, would you fight for the ice hockey championship rights? And there are several sports that have migrated from public TV.
But if we look at the same, for example, ice hockey, it has been historically, let's say, long years with TV3 Group. And then 6 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, I think that the conglomerate of public broadcaster and Helio Media at the time actually have overbid it. We have also participated for the ice hockey license for another five-year period beginning this year, and we have lost it to the public broadcaster. I'm a little bit afraid that, let's say, we are going to see much more sports moving into the public media if we are going to bid at this rate. yes, I might be subjective because my, let's say, to share a little bit of my thinking, I don't fully understand why state needs to put every citizen money into buying those licenses. Because, let's say, we, everybody who are paying taxes, we are supporting public media. So why public media needs to invest huge money into those licenses that is coming from our pockets when commercial media can fund it from themselves and then pay taxes on top? So let's say commercial logic, I see zero. If you have the possibility that still everybody here in Latvia sees the sport and it doesn't cost to anybody, but on top of that, you still get some revenues into the budget from making it commercial, why do we need to overbid it all? I don't see the logic. But somebody at the public media sees. So I think I don't really see a problem here in the sense that public media is going to have too few sports. Maybe at the end of the day, the commercial media is going to end up having too few sports because the public media is just going to want to have it all.
And what bids are you making on the younger audience?
Oh, that's a very tough question.
Who is living in TikTok and YouTube?
That is a very tough question. I think with regards to that, let's say if we follow the trends, we don't really have the big problem with those who are up to 15 years old. They have never been too much interested in the big screens. So the levels of their interest stay really the same or very similar. And maybe we're even growing the interest through the platform of Go3. And we also don't really see big problems with the ones who are above 25. The biggest question is between 15 and 20 some, I would say so, because the situation is that they don't like... It's not about the programming that they don't like. It's that they are just don't use the big screen so much. Meaning that, you know, most of the things that they are consuming is in the small screen. And in the small screen, you know, the preferation is still very much about what you can share, like, etc., meaning the social medias of the kind. And no local media has actually found a way how to monetize that. So basically, everybody, including ourselves, we're working on that to grow them when they become a little bit older and they want the time and have the time to switch on the big screen, and then we can catch them through what we have done. Yes, of course, we are still investing into the content that's relevant for their age, and we see some traction on the platforms like Go3, because this type of the generation already prefers on-demand type of the programming more than linear type of the programming. You can feel it.
Dzirdējāt sarunu ar TV3 grupas Latvijā vadītāju Mindaugu Rakausku. Raidījumu veidoja Zane Ozoliņa, montēja Reinis Budze.
Uzšķēržam, preparējam, aizšujam. Tāda ir mēdija anatomija.